Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, October 13th, 2014. Happy Columbus Day!
Oh, is it Alfred? Columbus Day today?
Isn't it Columbus Day? And Thanksgiving in Canada!
Thanksgiving in Canada.
Yes. So for all our Canadian listeners, if you celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving Day.
What do they have up there? Do they have turkeys or do they have moose or what do they eat for Thanksgiving?
Well, I don't know. I don't live in Canada and I don't celebrate Canada's Thanksgiving. So I just... Really?
Well, it's one of those questions. I know we have some Canadian listeners. Maybe somebody can drop us an email or something and tell us what Canadians eat for Canadian Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I would think, well, anyway, it might depend on what part of Canada. No. Anyway, let's go ahead and get right to the markets today. Oh, with so many people away for the day. The markets did quite nicely. You have gold up $11 currently on the New York spot price at $1,235. Silver's up 7 cents at $17.57. Platinum is up 5 at $12.66. And palladium up 4 at $789. And really, the markets were just kind of sort of quiet all day long. But it really was this last hour of trade, both in the paper markets and gold, where they got an additional boost for gold. And the stock market got an additional to the downside boost. The USDX today, same thing with that, down 0.36 at 85.46. Crude oil's down 65 cents at 85.17. And I guess I heard ISIS took over one of the Iraqis' military bases. And that was just released.
That's pretty embarrassing, really.
You know, it's amazing. And I mean, everyone is
expecting.
They
can take over a military base. How are they going to protect any cities or terrain or whatever if they can't even protect their own bunks?
Well, I think. I mean, everybody's predicting that ISIS is just going to do Baghdad, too. Take over our military that we spent $1 billion for the embassy over there. And,
it's bizarre. There was a situation with the first time we invaded under Bush. We didn't go into Baghdad. They had the opportunity to go into Baghdad. They didn't go into Baghdad. They thought it would be too much trouble. It's interesting that it would have been too much trouble for the United States military when it was at its peak force. This goes back to, I don't even remember the first time we went in there, but we were clearly the strongest nation in the world, and now we're talking about ISIS might be able to invade Baghdad. And, you know, things have changed, and it may be that the Iraqi defenses of Baghdad are nowhere near as strong today as they were back the first time we invaded. But just the same, it's interesting that ISIS may have no problem going into Baghdad, where our leaders said, nope, we can't do that. That would be bad business. We can't pull that off. Oh, well, times change. It's just an indication of how times have changed.
Well, it also shows me that this is something that it's just amazing and it's incredible that this group can do what they're doing. And of course, there's no one standing in their way.
And that's a big question right there.
And the only ones that are willing to fight these guys are the Kurds. And yet, who's supporting the Kurds? I mean, the Kurds are friendly to Christians. Yep. And no one is really talking about the Christian association with everything that's going on. But they're the only ones that are friendly to Christians. And nobody wants to support. And the Kurds are the only ones that are willing to fight ISIS. And no one is helping the Kurds do that.
I understand that. You know, when you make the point that no one is defending against ISIS, that's a huge point. And it really is, we look back, is no one effectively resisting ISIS because, gee, we're just a little bit discombobulated and golly, we're having some problems? Or are there people in positions of power that are simply saying, we're not going to get in the way? Are we not fighting because we can't? We've got, you know, logistical problems. Or are we not fighting because people have decided we're going to let them have it? We're going to let ISIS win.
They're not getting in the way because whatever ISIS achievements are is what they want. So, and I do believe that. I mean, they're allowing them to take over. I mean, even Turkey, I mean, there's such poor reporting. One minute, Turkey says they're going to allow the U.S. to use their bases. The next minute, Turkey's saying, no, we ain't going to do that. it's just, this is by design.
I think it has to be.
It is.
I think it virtually has to be. I don't. You know, that's just conspiracy talk. What else could it be?
Do you know what else it could be? Because the United States has always been, in the recent history, has always been the leader taking control, and everybody just sort of follows and backs up. And this time we have someone in Washington that is letting it just happen, and I think everybody else is,
we have to really even ask if they are just letting this happen. There's good reason to believe that ISIS has a substantial amount of weaponry that was ultimately manufactured by or for the United States, and ISIS has acquired this. Now, some people are going to say, well, we just abandoned some of those weapons and they got hold of them. That's a bunch of crap. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to abandon a 155-millimeter Hauser or whatever out in my backyard. You understand? You don't just abandon these weapons and say, well, nothing we can do about that. We'll just leave them out here. This doesn't make sense. You abandon tanks? How much do you abandon? It sounds more like we have intentionally given ISIS weapons. And we said, here, let's see if you can do anything with that. This whole thing, I don't know. This whole thing just stinks. It smells. There's something deeply wrong here in the sense that, once again, as usual, as always, we are not being told the truth. There are forces at work that are doing things for reasons that have nothing to do with the general welfare of the people of the United States of America. We might be doing some good for some special interests, but what's this got to do with the average American? Where do we get a payoff on this? I don't see it.
And supposedly, being a Christian nation, what's happening to all those Christians that are being slaughtered, and no one says a word about it?
Yeah, I understand.
Not a word.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then you have the debates against these idiots. I mean, it's You never to have media on the side of what's his name, Bill Maher.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's an atheist of 100% atheist, and he's actually backing Christianity on this issue and against the Islamic and the Muslims' faith and so forth. And it's like, I mean, it's like, you gotta be kidding.
I mean, I'm gonna wait. I am waiting to see Obama on the trapeze. All right, the flying Obama up on the trapeze, working without a net, leaping from whatever to whatever.
But certainly, when his strong support of the Islam religion, you can question this more so now than ever before, that this is all by design. So, and what is also by design is the stock market, the paper markets. That slid today 223 points, down almost a little over a third and a 1.3% at 16,321. The NASDAQ was down 62 points, down almost 1.5% at 42.13, and the S&P down 31 at 18.74. And the 10-year yield, you know, last time I saw it was in the high 30s, 2.29% on the 10-year yield, so down 0.02 on the day. So an interesting day on the markets, and,
An interesting day is merely interesting. It doesn't amount to much. But this is part of a pattern that's been going on for a week now. All right, this is in a sense the sixth day. We had 5 days of not consecutive losses, but loss and then regained loss and then more. They got some back and loss. I think we lost about 500 points on the Dow last week.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's interesting for the weekend. Now we're down again. How many?
200.
Another 200 points today. It really has taken the steam out of the idea that the Dow is going to 18,000 or 19,000. None of that's impossible, but what a lot of people thought was a certainty is now merely a possibility. People are beginning to have doubt about the markets. Watch whether this catches fire or not. You know, maybe this can all be turned around tomorrow with a 400-point upswing in the Dow. It could happen.
Do you know why we're not doing anything in Iraq fighting ISIS? It's because the military is ready in for climate war.
Climate war.
Climate war. That's much more important. You know, the Pentagon says global warming presents immediate security threat. Forget everything else that's going on.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, it's just like, yeah, you want to do your circus music again?
Frank is our producer. Frank, you should be looking for some circus music that we can interject into the program from time to time. We may have increasing need for that as time goes on. I'm going to give myself a top hat and a red coat with tails on it so I can conduct this thing effectively from here in this.
Well, Wall Street, circus. Well... Not only Wall Street, but the top U.S. and U.K. regulators, they conducted their own exercise on big bank failures, part of preventing a crisis. That started today, including Janet Yellen, the Federal Reserve chairwoman. They have taken in part to see how they could handle the failure of a large multinational bank and communicate with each other. The exercise was held today as they want to prevent a repeat of the 2008 financial crisis. And it also included the U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew, the U.K. Chancellor, the Exchequer George Osborne, Bank of England Governor Mark Carney. They discussed the U.S. and British procedures. Isn't that great that we're doing this co-op with the British? I thought we were separate from the British, but I guess anymore And we're all the same anymore.
No, the countries are separate, but the banks are not.
But you know, the with the FDIC, and this took place at the agencies, at the FDIC agency in the Arlington, Virginia offices. And what amazes me is what kind of exercises do you do? I mean, when you have the military exercises, you know, you have the good guys, the bad guys, you know, you have a program you can follow and so forth. But what kind of exercises do you need for?
I think I know what it is, Melody. You bend over, you put your head between your legs.
Ow.
Funds, goodbye.
Probably
1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Those are the exercises they're doing at the banks.
So, I mean... So what could they possibly do? Pick up their communication between one another? They've already done what they had to do in 2008 to prevent any of this happening, to re-happen once again. And
you know what I think is interesting about this? As near as I can see, they are only doing an exercise to prepare how they're going to proceed if one bank fails. Are they doing any exercises on the off chance that two or more banks might fail? And the fact that they're not, or at least the appearance that they're not, suggests that they understand that if anything more than one major bank goes down, this whole thing is going down. There's nothing they can do. That's the implication. Not necessarily true, but that's the implication.
Well, they're supposed to ensure the regulators that if anything happened like this once again, that...
you guys wait here. It's all under control. I'm taking off in my corporate jet. I'll be headed for my little chalet up in the mountains of Switzerland, and you guys wait right here.
The idea is for banks to increase their cushions against unexpected losses to reduce the chances of the big bank failures. And, you know, I thought that's why they had the stress test. I thought all of these stress, but they all lie. They've shown how Bank of America lies, Citicorp lies, when it comes down to the stress test, and would they be able to handle, you know, some sort of thing. And my question is, if they're doing this type of exercise, then they also know it's just a matter of time.
That's the implication.
Yes.
That's the implication. I mean, they're going through the numbers. They may start checking people's temperature when you enter the bank to see if you're hot under the collar, either from Ebola or perhaps you're just so fed up with bank mismanagement, losing your funds. They're going to put a little gizmo to your head and they'll see if, oh, this guy's hot. You better watch out for this guy. He's pissed. All of this is pointing to the possibility that we're getting much closer to that moment, the inevitable moment, when the lies no longer work, when the manipulation no longer succeeds in fooling anyone, and we finally have to deal with the truth. And when that happens, that will be the moment when the stuff hits the fan. Huh? It won't necessarily be the moment in the sense that it'll be 10/22 on the 23rd of next month. It'll be a moment that goes on that is perhaps stretched out over the course of days, weeks, maybe even a couple of months. But it'll be a moment when all of a sudden this thing begins to unwind in a way that's open and obvious to everybody. And they say, yeah.
Well, you know what? It should tell the listeners that if the banks, if the Federal Reserve, both here in England or coming together to have some sort of arrangement when this happens, people should be doing it with their own personal investments. Be prepared for that emergency because it's going to happen. It is, the financial system is going to collapse. We just don't know when.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is what they're preparing for. They're preparing for it. So why aren't you, the listeners? You need
Here's another point also.
Point is the brakes.
All right, well, we'll get back to it. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We are the ringmasters for what is fast becoming the greatest show on earth, the circus of the politicians. And I don't know. We've talked about it regularly for the last month or more, that the world is becoming increasingly unstable and irrational, and it seems like it's becoming insane. We'll get into that a little bit more in a moment, but here we are. This program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, of course, at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, the world has been unstable for a very long time, much longer than the past month now, but the problem is it's just becoming out in the open. I mean, people are seeing the reality of what is happening, because for if it's all by design, they're allowing it to get to this point. And whether half of it is by design, where the other half is just poor leadership, or it's a combination, or that poor leadership is desired, it's, you know, more in the forefront now than it ever has been, I believe. So, but it's been brewing for a very long time, and things have never been fixed. Things have never been truly peaceful. It's only been as peaceful as long as you believed them telling you it was peaceful.
And, well, I think it points to another phenomena that's crossing my mind. You know, maybe it's true, maybe it's false, but I think we are becoming divided. All right.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when this nation marched, in a sense, to the beat of a single drummer. And everybody in the country pretty much agreed on the same system of values and what was right and what was wrong. But I think what we perceive as a kind of insanity and madness and instability today is the fact that the country is breaking down into special interest groups. Right? And I don't just mean corporations and unions. I mean, you know, I've got a certain system of values that at least some people share besides me. And it used to be that my values, I thought, were consistent with those of most Americans. I knew there was some disagreement, the rest of that sort of thing, but I thought we were all moving in the same direction at the same time. And that's not what's happening right now. Some of us are headed north and some south and some east and some west, and some of us are trying to get more people into the tent, and some people are trying to close the tent off to prevent more people to come in, and there is no longer a national unity. I don't mean a global unity. I've never seen that. But there was national unity, at least a feeling of that. And right now, I don't think that feeling is around. I think a lot of us, people would absolutely disagree with some of the things I think are true and important. They nevertheless, they are feeling isolated. They have their passionate ideas. I have my passionate ideas, but we don't see ourselves as part of the same group, the same nation. And in the midst of this resulting chaos, it looks like insanity, but maybe it's just division. If you catch, do you understand what I'm saying there? Does that make any sense? Yeah. All right. What else? We were talking before we took the break. We're talking about the banks, United States banks and English banks are preparing. They're having an exercise on what will happen in the event that a major bank breaks down into bankruptcy, insolvency, whatever. They have to know that just by having this exercise and publicizing the fact, they have to diminish public confidence in the banking system. This isn't going to increase it. I doubt that many people say, oh, that's great. I feel more confident about depositing my funds in a bank right now because they're having an exercise on what to do if one major bank collapses. Right? That doesn't inspire my confidence. Maybe it does some people's, but I don't find confidence in that. I don't think the public does, which raises a question. Is the Federal Reserve and the banks of the United Kingdom, are they intentionally making this public announcement to diminish public confidence in the banking system? Because that's going to be because from my perspective, at least, that's going to be the net result. Are they doing this intentionally, or are they doing this exercise in order to instill confidence someplace else, and if so, where? And my guess would be maybe bank employees. Maybe there are people working in the banking system right now that are beginning to get rattled. Maybe they're sitting back and say, holy cow, do you see what they're doing over here? And I'm wondering, do you suppose it's possible that the Federal Reserve and or the Bank of the United Kingdom, whatever, are they trying to shore up confidence among their own staff? Is that the purpose of this exercise? I'm just speculating. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not even saying it's probably true. But I'm saying there's a chance in four that it might be true. What do you think? Does that make any sense, Melody, or not?
Actually, what I think that they're trying to do is to come together and to incorporate the same procedures between England and us so that they're on the same page. I think it's a matter of meshing together. And certainly there is, with this coming out now, with the markets falling, I mean, Europe markets, I mean, they're all down, you know, just as much as we're down. So it might instill some sort of confidence to people thinking that if the markets are dropping 15, 20, 30, 40, 50%, that the banks are still able and will be backed by government assistance. So, yeah, there is a some degree of to bring confidence and order to the markets, to the people, so they don't withdraw their money. So there's no bank runs. And I think this is something else, too. Before, they didn't have to worry about bank runs. In 2008, a lot has happened since 2008 today. Many more people do their banking online today than they did in 2008. You have businesses that are more online today than they were in 2007, 2008, 2009. And they are concerned that you're going to have billions of dollars transferred out of those bank accounts in seconds.
Yep.
So I think this is a threat that they're not mentioning. And I think that's the threat that they have to protect. How do they keep people Well, they just shut down the computers. It's as easy as that. But on the other way, that's what they're afraid of.
I think also it also crosses my mind in relation to this exercise that they're having. Maybe they just have a compulsion to do something. Right? They kind of see what's happening. So we got to do something. What are we doing? Somebody says, I know. We could have an exercise. And I think, yes, yes, an exercise. Maybe that'll save us. I don't know. Are they doing this because it's sensible, or are they just doing it because they're desperate to do something?
Probably a combination of all. But their biggest threat, I believe, is online transfers. Computer transfers in the matter of seconds. That would bring the banks to their knees in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, that's a problem, all right.
That's so they can
have a bank run without even going to the bank.
Without going to the bank. Yeah. You know,
and
at one time.
They've had them. I mean, during the 2000.
But not to the degree.
No, not to that degree. But nevertheless, they had them and they saw it and they said, holy cow.
But today, there's so much more banking done online than in 2008, and which takes me over to voice prints, how they're being harvested over the telephone, in jail, and online. There's a new digital bounty that is being harvested, the human voice. Businesses and governments around the world are turning to voice biometrics or voice prints to pay pensions, collect taxes, to track criminals, and to replace passwords. They call it the invisible biometric. This is an executive at Madrid-based Agnitio, Mike Goldgoff. He says he's one of about 10 leading companies in the field that he's the executive at. Those companies have helped enter more than 65 million voice prints into corporate and government databases. And
how many?
65 million voice prints into corporate and government databases, according to the Associated Press interviews with dozens of industry representatives and record requests in the United States, Europe, and elsewhere. The technology is here, is proven, and available, and it's in high demand. Dan Miller, an analyst with Opus Research in San Francisco, estimates that the industry's revenue will roughly double from just under $400 million last year to between $700 million and $900 million next year. They're experimenting with voice printing as an identification. This is Barclays. For identification for its wealthiest clients. And it was very successful that Barclays is rolling it out to the rest of its 12 million retail banking customers. They think that in the next 2 to 3 years, that this voice biometrics will be the de facto standard. Vendors say that the person's voice is unique in a way similar to the loops and whirls at the tips of someone's fingers, like fingerprinting. I mean, this is crazy.
Well,
single largest, get this. The single largest implementation identified by the Associated Press is in Turkey, where the mobile phone company Turkcell has taken the voice biometric data of some 10 million customers using technology provided by market leader Nuance Communications. The U.S. law enforcement officials use the technology to monitor inmates and track offenders who have been paroled. In New Zealand, the Internal Revenue Department celebrated its 1 million voice print, leading the revenue minister to boast that his country had the highest level of voice biometric enrollments per capita in the world. South Africa, roughly 7 million voice prints have been collected by the country's Social Security Agency, in part to verify those claiming pensioners are still alive. And, I mean, so every time that you call a company and they're recording your voice, guess what? And here's something this other person said. The next thing you know, that will be given to border guards, and you'll need to speak into a microphone when you get back from vacation.
And what if there's something wrong with a microphone or whatever? I mean, it's interesting stuff. I know it's kind of inevitable. But just the same, it opens the door to abuse. Someone says, no, that's not your voice. Says, yes, this is my voice, the voice I've always had. And they say, no, we have the computer. Whoever you are, you're not who you say you are. You can't access your bank account, or you can't get into the country, or we're going to have to detain you for a couple of days till we find out for sure who you really are. I don't know. The whole thing is becoming bizarre. We are accumulating so much information about everyone. All right, that maybe we have more information than we can deal with. You know, there is such a mass of information available. Who can digest it all? Who can keep track of it? And I know that computers, in theory, can. But we are increasingly in a world where there are no secrets. You're not going to be able to maintain a low profile, for example. You want to be politically active. You don't like what the government is doing, whatever, and you'd like to maintain a low profile and write email in an anonymous name. Well, you're not going to get away with that. They're going to know who you are. And there's an implication here that as they know what you're doing every time you do it, you have two choices. And one is you just stop doing things. Or two, you do them in public and you rally people around you and you wind up demonstrating where, let's see if they can do a voice print on a group of dissidents that's 10,000 people. The idea that you can't maintain personal anonymity and can't maintain personal secrecy will compel us to either shut up or to speak out more loudly in public than perhaps we ever have before.
The sad thing about this, Al, you're going to have so many people, and you said it when you just mentioned it, so many people think, what's the big deal? Because I don't do anything wrong anyway. People just don't understand. The young kids today, they embrace this sort of technology. They think it's cool. Look how many people lose their passwords. And I really do believe a lot of this, a lot of the problems like passwords, people losing passwords, getting computers hacked into, supposedly identity theft or credit cards, I think a lot of that is truly exaggerated and created just so they can promote things like this. And people will embrace this type of technology saying, oh, my gosh, I don't have to worry about my passwords anymore because I lose them all the time. And they don't even think past what the
implications. Yeah, they see the immediate convenience and they don't recognize what may be long-term implications. But the real long-term implications,
they don't realize what they're
going to know what you're doing all the time. We really are approaching a world like the one George Orwell predicted in 1984, where Big Brother is monitoring us on a full-time basis. Now, what can Big Brother do about it? That's part of the problem. You know, as much as Big Brother might not like what I have to say, Big Brother will also know that there are perhaps another 50 million people in the country that are saying the same thing. Now, how many of these people can you jail? There's a point where your collection of information, we had a system here in Dallas back 10 years ago where they had some sort of a vehicle recognition system mounted on cop cars where they could identify the recognition system, the computerized system, would recognize, read the license plate on the car in front of the cop or the cars as they're driving down the road and the cars that are parked alongside. It just read them, and find out if there are any warrants or anything out for them. Well, they collected a bunch of people that were, there were outstanding warrants or outstanding traffic tickets and whatever. And by the time they got done, they were collecting so many people they didn't know what to do with them. They didn't have enough jails to put them all in. They didn't have enough tow trucks to tow all the cars. And again, we're back to the situation where, you know, how much information can you deal with before finally your ability, you know, sorry, we know this guy doesn't, the license is no longer current, but we don't have any tow trucks. We got them all out on, 100 other jobs in front of this guy. I don't know. It's just the world has become strange and mad. Here we go. right on cue. The world is strange, and Frank is signaling we are here at the Big Top, and we're going to have JoJo the dog face boy will be here in the third segment of the program, so please stay tuned. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedars. Come on, Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, the United States is reviewing the sale of the New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel to a Chinese firm. Excuse me. These videos online that just start playing when you don't ask it to. But anyway.
You're kidding, isn't it?
But they're concerned about potential security risks. The U.S. government has taken a close look at last week's sale of the New York's iconic Waldorf Astoria to the hotel to a Chinese insurance company. Today, the U.S. government said they're reviewing the October 6th purchase by the Beijing-based Anbang Insurance Group, and they bought the hotel for $1.95 billion. The sale does allow Hilton to run the hotel for the next 100 years and calls for a major renovation. And the officials say that has raised eyebrows in Washington. They're fearful the Chinese might be eavesdropping and have cyber espionage run high. The officials also said the sale could have implications for the government's long-standing relationship with the hotel. Gee, that's a pretty nice
relationship. The U.S. government's long-standing relationship with the hotel,
which serves as home to the American ambassador to the United Nations and hosts the president and hundreds of U.S. diplomats during the annual U.N. General Assembly.
In other words, that place is bugged. They're afraid that the
Chinese will get a hold of it.
Management and say there's a bug in my bed. We're not talking about bed bugs. We're talking about the kind that can listen in and see what's going on. Oh, man. Apparently, another concern is that the Waldorf Astoria will start serving Peking duck
perhaps
rather than roast beef.
Perhaps, but the whole point is why, you know, it's pretty a nice hotel for, you know.
Well, and
can't they stay at a Motel 6?
They are concerned about the security implications of a Chinese insurance company legally buying the Waldorf Astoria. That is cause for concern. Oh, my gosh, national security is threatened. But they're not the least bit concerned, or not significantly concerned, about illegal aliens entering this country en masse. And they're not buying anything. They're just coming in and breaking the law. Here you got a Chinese firm. Listen, I'm not in favor of China buying anything in this country. Don't misunderstand, but you got to deal with this fact that, look, they've got some dollars. They want to trade them off for something valuable, so they're going to buy the Waldorf Astoria. All right? Well, it's legal, and they got a problem with that. We're going to investigate this legal activity of buying Waldorf Astoria, but we're not concerned about illegal aliens. We're not concerned about enforcing the law relative to them. And they don't even know how to, the illegal aliens don't even know how to cook Peking duck. So, what else, Melody?
Well, I just thought those were the interesting, you know, the interesting. There's a lot of things talking on. We haven't even... the second case of Ebola.
Exactly.
Strikes out on a healthcare worker.
Yeah. A nurse here in Dallas, first person to contract Ebola within the United States. Now, that's interesting for this reason. The first person to contract Ebola outside of Africa was a nurse in Spain. That was in the news last week sometime, about a week ago. And the point is, the healthcare workers are the people. The implication, we've only got two little stories here. That's evidence, it's not proof. But we've got a nurse in Spain, first one to contract Ebola outside of Africa. And now we've got a nurse in the United States, first one to contract Ebola in the United States, or at least verified. And it's evidence that the healthcare system has got to be in a high state of anxiety. It's also evidence. What's going to happen? You know, here in Dallas, where we've had our first case, American case of Ebola, and now the second, the hospital, Presbyterian, whatever, I can't remember the proper name of the hospital, but the hospital, they've already reported that a lot of women who were scheduled to deliver their babies there have said, I'm not going to that hospital. I might give my child Ebola. I'm going someplace else. This illustrates that in the article we're talking about from the New York Times, it says that the news of this nurse catching Ebola further stoked fears of healthcare workers across the country and opened a new and more frightening chapter in the unfolding public health drama. But point here, and they're right, that's absolutely true. And the doctors and nurses, I mean, the woman who caught this was allegedly treating this guy. She was in a hazmat suit, all right? She worked on the first Ebola patient, but she was, in theory, protected. Now, what did she do? What happened to the suit? How did the protection fail? Because if these hazmat suits don't work, all of a sudden a whole bunch of nurses are going to say, I'm not going to work on this guy. I'm not going in the room with him. What happens when healthcare workers say we're not going to treat the problem? And they've got to be concerned at minimum, if not scared. And the next question is, what about the rest of us who don't have hazmat suits? We don't even have that much protection, all right? Which may not be reliable if we can believe what's happened to this Dallas nurse, but what about the rest of us? How long before we begin to wonder whether or not we should go watch the movie at this weekend? Shall we take in a movie, Melody, and go to a public theater where some guy in the back row may be coughing? Shall we do that, or maybe we better just stay home and watch the movies on TV? You know, how many of us are going to go shopping at Sam's or Costco's? We're coming into the Christmas season. What's going to happen on, Big Friday? I can't remember the name.
Black Friday.
I know, Black Friday. How many shoppers are going to show up after Thanksgiving if Ebola has broken loose? And I am of the opinion that the threat of Ebola is perhaps exaggerated. We'll know better in another week or two.
See, I think it's the opposite.
You think it's underreported?
Yes, I do. Man, and I think this nurse sort of, here she had a hazmat suit. They're blaming her for breaking protocol. And if she's come down with Ebola 4 days after he died, you can't tell me the people that he lived with for how long in that small apartment.
Yeah,
they're healthy. And they're not talking about the sheriff's deputy.
He allegedly, he is suspected of having contracted the disease because, and they think it's because he entered the apartment without any protective hazmat suit or anything else. And they
so
think
then the nurse,
this is after the guy. He never had any direct contact with the guy who has Ebola or had Ebola and brought it into the country. He never met him, saw him, whatever. But he was in the place where the guy lived, which implies that the disease sits on the surface of the table, the surface of whatever.
So if you brush
up against it, who knows?
So the nurse would be the second person.
If... the nurse, apparently, they talk about the nurses as if this is confirmed. They haven't confirmed, to my knowledge, that the sheriff's deputy, they suspect. He suspected, and he turned himself in, and they said that was a good idea, and they're going to take care of him, and they'll probably be able to control it. And I haven't heard anything further. Maybe there's news out there, but it's not something I've heard yet. So the sheriff's deputy is kind of off the radar for the moment.
So here's a nurse. We'll just assume the nurse then. Here she has a hazmat suit. They're blaming her for breaking protocol is how she contracted the disease. So here she is in this protective gear, and no one else that this Duncan has come into contact with has become ill?
I
don't buy it. I just
It's part of the problem. Again, we have confusion. What is the truth of the matter? And it's being hyped both ways. I know people who swear up and down that the entire Ebola thing is a complete hoax being perpetrated by the government in order to enhance government ability to control and regulate us and whatever conspiracy theory you want to embrace on that thing. They say Ebola is a complete lie. There's other people that are saying Ebola is not being properly reported. It's being underreported, and it's far more terrible than we're led to believe. And again, we are caught in the dilemma of trying to understand who's telling the truth. What is the truth? Putting
it all together. I mean, when you look at West Africa, I mean, there's millions and millions and millions of people, and only 4,000 people died. I mean, really, it is a low death rate considering the millions of people that are there. I mean, there's not that many.
No, I understand
that. If that number is truly reported. So the same thing here, based on the number of people. And I do believe it's being hyped. At the same time, I don't believe they're telling the truth as exactly how many. So I do believe it's a combination.
Well, that's the problem we have. And it's part of the problem. It's part of the reason I talked earlier about the possibility that some of the madness and the insanity that's increasingly seems to surround us is based on a division. We are no longer all marching as one nation. All right. Some of us believe one thing. Some of us believe the exact opposite. There's that division, and the division is based in large measure on the idea that we don't have anybody we can depend on to tell us the truth. There is no Walter Cronkite out here. He's not here anymore, and there can't be in this world. Nobody believes Obama. Who do we believe? And because of that, we make a selection. We decide, well, I'm going to believe this guy. Somebody else says, I'm going to believe that woman over there. I'm going to believe we pick and choose who we believe. Winds up with controversy on this. And it flows from the idea that it's common knowledge that people in positions of authority and power routinely lie. And that being the case, and it may be that they lied all along. They may have been lying since 100 years before I was born. But at least we didn't know it. and we believed. We all believed the same thing, pretty much, and therefore we all marched together. We don't all believe the same thing anymore, and that contributes to this sense of madness, instability, whatever, division, and it does not bode well for the idea of a national identity, a national solidarity, national unity. It suggests we are coming to a time when there's going to be breakdowns, not merely confusion, not merely claims that we're a little bit crazy or something insane is going on here. All of that is conducive to the idea I'm just going to hole up. All right? I don't know what the rest of the crazy SOBs are going to do, but I'm going to hole up here and I'm going to control my little bit of space and I'm not marching with all the other nuts. Of course, they're not marching with me either necessarily. So who is the real nut? Yeah. Nobody knows. It's a function of lack of trust in people of authority. It's a function of habitual lying that's been exposed. And what's that? How did we find out they're all lying, Melody? Internet. More than anything else, the internet is the medium that has destroyed this sense of national unity. It has. Some people say yes, some people say no. Some people say Ebola is going to kill us all. Some people say it's nothing no more serious than the cold, some sort of a fraud. It's the internet that allows for an enormous diversity of opinion, and that diversity is not conducive to a stable national identity, and that's going to infect and affect the economy. There are implications here that are, you know, unclear, but you can begin to sense them. As we increasingly disagree, we also increasingly separate, and that suggests we're headed for a moment when the economy is going to break down into smaller chunks. It'll disintegrate. Instead of functioning as one giant machine with 317 million cogs, we're going to break down into a couple of machines. You know, and just more instability. All of which suggests one of the things you do if you think the world is becoming unstable. If it seems like it's becoming increasingly unstable, what do people do if they have any wealth and they want to protect it? For several thousand years, the remedy for national and economic instability has been gold. You know, to a lesser extent, silver. Now may be the time, ladies and gentlemen, jump in and get some while the getting is good, that is to say, cheap. Give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188 at Discount Gold and Silver. I want to thank all of you for listening. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We will be back mañana. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.